This is Bronson Hermuth coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm actually sitting in Cinderella Studio with Mr. Wayne Moss. Wayne, thank you for doing this.
You're quite welcome.
So when did you come to Nashville?
1959.
And did you know somebody here? Did you just come?
My mother lived here.
Oh, your mom lived here.
Yeah.
So do you remember your first guitar?
Yeah, it was an open hole. My dad got for $6 at a pawn shop. I loaned it to a guy, and then he loaned it to somebody, and they wrote, "Hank Williams will live forever" on it, and I never saw it again.
So, how old were you?
About 8.
You remember your first paid gig?
Well, let's see. That probably came, we played an Oddfellows Lodge, me and a guy named Charlie, and I was scared to death. I just played guitar, and he sang. But my first regular paying gig was with an outfit called Sleepy Jefferson, the Pioneer Pals. That was in Charleston, West Virginia. He was a radio DJ, playing country music. He would go out and do gigs at schools and stuff all over West Virginia and Virginia and Kentucky, places are not too far away. So we did a lot of traveling and played just about every little five place in the road. His wife was part of a twin, Honey and Sonny, the Davis twins. He was married to Honey. And Sonny was a DJ, too. He had a radio station that he worked on. There are different radio stations. Sleepy was WTIP in Charleston. But anyway, he played acoustic guitar. His wife played mandolin. And Sonny played upright bass. So we would all travel together in a Cadillac he had and put that upright bass in the up over the front seats all the way to the back of the thing. So a lot of the traveling I did was with my head to one side because I couldn't move it straight up on kind of the upright bass.
How much did you make? How much did they pay you?
Oh, I don't know, $7 or something like that. We had a TV show we did. A TV show every Thursday at WAY TV in Oak Hill, West Virginia. And we had to travel through a bunch of coal mine camps and stuff to get there. Every time I went through one of those things, I was glad I knew how to play guitar because I didn't want to work in the coal mine. And there was a whole lot of that in West Virginia, that in chemical plants. My dad worked at Carbide for 21 years.
Did he play?
He played a little bit of banjo, but not enough so you'd notice. I think he played a trumpet or something.
Who inspired you to play, though? What was the motivation to play?
Yeah, I just wanted to play, and I had a buddy play banjo, and his name was Benny Brumfield. There was a fellow who lived downstairs from Benny Brumfield named Franklin Arizona Lacey, and he had a guitar with Picture Gene Autry on it or something. I don't know what it was, but horrible guitar. He told me, he said, "Well, you ain't ever going to mount anything unless you sing, too." And I said, "Well, Chet don't have that problem, but thanks for the advice." And Chet ended up singing anyway. So anyway, I borrowed his guitar and picked around. Benny Brumfield played five-string banjo. And he wanted to be Earl Scruggs, and he wanted me to be Lester Flatt. So we'd sit around and play Foggy Mountain Breakdown and stuff together until I figured out where the chords were. And when I heard Chet playing, then I started getting into fingerstyle guitar and didn't worry near as much about Lester Flatt. He and I played around, not making any money, just picking, until I got that job with Sleepy Jeffers, and that TV show was every Thursday night. And WAY is in Oak Hill. And very close to Oak Hill is Fayetteville. That's where Charlie McCoy lived. Mm-hmm. So he'd watch me on TV. I didn't know Charlie at the time. And I didn't know Russ Hicks either. He lived in Beckley, West Virginia, and he'd watch me too. So a time or two, I would play something that they found to be interesting. And Russ came by the TV station one time and wanted to know if he could touch my guitar. And I said, "Sure, go ahead." He'd never seen a Fender Strat before. He was amazed. Anyway, we finally got together. Once everybody got to Nashville, we got to be big buddies. And both of them ended up in the Barefoot Cherry Band. Charlie, of course, has gone on to greater things. So he was a musical director at Hee Haw for 20-some years, and he's inducted into the Hall of Fame here, and also in West Virginia Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I interviewed Charlie. I know Charlie.
Yeah, that's right.
And I interviewed him. Yeah, he's a great guy, and he what a player.
But he and I have had a publishing company together for 40-some years. First song we ever had recorded was by Bobby Bear, called It's All Right, written by Matt Gaden.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, but it was that was early on. It was in the 60s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Early 60s. I don't know. Charlie and I were in a lot of bands together. One of them was called The Escorts. One was called Area Code 615, and then Barefoot Jerry, of course.
You know, Area Code 615, I cut my teeth up in Iowa, up in Fort Madison, Iowa, listening to their records.
Oh, and you did?
Yeah, that's, and, you know, I'm a harmonica player, and Charlie had a lot of inspiration. And I was living in Nashville, year, you know, 10, 12 years later, and before I really realized that why did that, I always thought that was such a cool name, Area Code 615.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever, ever knew that was the area code in Nashville. I just thought that was so cool, Area Code 615. Yeah. So I'm in Nashville living, and I go to make a call, that somebody's gonna, and I realize the area code. Well, that's why.
That's
why
the name is. Because
I always just thought that was like a cool hippie name, you know? It was like, you know, I just thought, oh, that's such a cool name. Oh, yeah, I put the headphones on, man, that turntable go, that needle come back, just play it again. I'd wake up and be playing. You know, I loved it, man.
That's
a
pretty good album.
Yeah, some awesome music. Incredible music players.
We got some buddies in West Virginia that liked us so much, they called their band Area Code 304.
Well, y'all put Nashville Pickers on the
Jim
map.
Matheny.
Y'all put that. You know, you put that whole thing you were doing, that was really showcasing the guys that made the music. You know?
Well, the Johnny Cash show we played, that's one of our two gigs for that band. The other one was Fillmore West. And Charlie probably told you about that, but it was quite an experience. I don't think it'd ever been many fiddles and banjos and steel guitars and stuff in the Fillmore West. It was mostly acid rock.
What year would that have been?
Gosh, 69 or 70, I guess. 69, probably. But there was just, wall-to-wall hippies, and they were... We were on the bill with Country Joe and the Fish, Sons of Champlin, who was an incredible, West Coast acid rock band. And we got up here, and according to the newspaper reviews the next day, we stole the show. We didn't think we did, but apparently the critics did.
Yeah.
And we were up, some pretty stiff competition. Linda Ronstadt was on her. She got the bill said... Country Joe and the Fish, Sons of Champlin, Area Code 615, and one other. Didn't even specify who it was. But it was Linda Ronstadt. That was before she was very hot. And musically.
Yeah.
She became enamored with our drummer. Anyway, she ended up cutting an album here called Silk Purse in years later. And we also warmed up for her at MTSU.